Hello everyone, Stuart and Jodie here at Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. It's good to engage with you again this week for this time of worship together. So first of all, let's commend this time into God's care and keeping. Let us pray. Father, often our minds are scattered and we are thinking about other things, but we offer to you our attention and our worship. And we pray that as we reflect upon your word, that you would speak into our lives and that we would hear a living word from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading today is from Jeremiah 29 verses 1 to 14. Jeremiah 29 verses 1 to 14. And I'm going to read it myself because it's got some difficult names in it and I don't like to give other people to read ones that have difficult names in. I'd rather try and make the mistakes myself. So here's the reading from Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 14, entitled A Letter to the Exiles. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasar, son of Shaphan, and to Jemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judea, sent to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would blow through your word by your Holy Spirit, and that your word would become a living word for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 has been popping up for me in my reading a few times recently. So when this happens, I try to pay attention and ask, what might God be trying to say to me by bringing something to my attention on various occasions? I'm not just going to focus on that famous verse 11, which most people know, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It reminds me of the phrase, "A text without a context is just a pretext for what we want it to mean." Often that verse is just plucked out of thin air, out of its context, not looking at the overall context in which it is placed. Jeremiah is given a message for the exiles who are in Babylon, which he sends in the form of a letter. In verse 1 it says, this is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent to Jerusalem, to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So that's the context in which it is set to a group of exiles. And what they are told to do, in short, is to settle down. In verse 5 it says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. In other words, it's not going to be a short exile. It's going to take longer than they think. And the difficulties that we are facing at the moment may take longer than we think. There's a sense in which we need to settle down and do the best we can within the circumstances and limitations that face us. Now, the exiles wanted a quick return to Jerusalem. They wanted to be told by their prophets, yes, God is going to take us back to Jerusalem quickly. And we see this in verse 8 and 9, where it says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declared the Lord. In other words, they were wanting messages of a quick return, a sense of wish fulfillment that they wanted. And there's a danger for us also in wanting our wishes fulfilled, but that may not be in line with God's purposes in that situation then and now. And they are called to seek the peace and prosperity of the place where they are, which was the place of their enemies in exile. It says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So they are called to seek the peace and prosperity of where they are. And we are also called to seek the peace and prosperity of where we are, not where we wish to be. Sometimes we can spend a lot of time wishing we were somewhere else instead of concentrating on serving God where we are. For me, that means Moulton. Although I'm not a native here, I'm like an exile coming from Scotland. In the original story here, the Israelites in Babylon were like forced immigrants, refugees. Our forefathers and foremothers in the faith were immigrants. And that reminds us, when we think about the plight of immigrants today, that our great ancestors in the faith, the people of Israel, were often refugees and immigrants. So how do we respond to those challenges today? It's a live issue at the moment, where we see the refugees coming across in dinghies, and we think, how do we respond to this as a society, as a nation? There's no easy answers to this complex situation, but we should at least remember that our ancestors were in similar situations, and we should put ourselves into their shoes. And although there are difficult political questions to be asked there, we shouldn't close our hearts to their needs at this time. The exile in Babylon wasn't a short one. It was 70 years. In other words, a lifetime. And our present exile may be with us for longer than we think, hopefully not 70 years, but the consequences may be around for some years. We have to settle down and pray and work within the circumstances we find ourselves. It is into this context of exile that that famous verse, verse 11, finds its place and speaks to us today. God had plans to prosper Israel, to give her hope and a future. He brought her back from her exile and fulfilled those promises. But God has even bigger plans in mind. From all eternity, God chose to send his Son to reconcile us to himself. It wasn't a plan B when things went wrong. It was always God's intention and plan to come and live amongst us in the incarnation, to become one of us, to redeem us and to save us from within. And looking forward to the future, God will accomplish his plans and purposes in the end too. We don't always know how things will go between now and then. Are we promised success and an easy road? No. But we are promised in many places in the Bible that God will never leave us nor forsake us. One of those places in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, it says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." And at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." He has promised to always be with us and never to abandon us. Will things get better or worse for us as a society, as a church, in the coming months or years? We don't know. But we do know that God has loving purposes for us as individuals, as a church community, and for the whole of his creation in general. God gives us hope, not optimism that things will get better, but an eternal hope that nothing can destroy. Peter speaks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, where he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So that hope is stored up for us in heaven and will be realized at the end of time, the end of history, and nothing can destroy that hope. And God gives us a future too. As Israel were brought home from their exile, God will bring us home to himself in the new creation, when we die or when Jesus comes in glory, whichever comes first. We aren't promised a quick return to things as they used to be, but we are promised that God won't abandon us and that he gives us a sure hope and a glorious future, and that is more than enough to sustain us in these troubling and difficult times. Lord, we thank you that you promise never to leave us or abandon us, and that you give us a hope for now and a hope for our future, which is a glorious future with you, even though we may pass through difficult times to get there. Help us to have that hope in our hearts as we struggle with the frustrations and difficulties that life places before us. Help us to know that your loving purposes for us are unbreakable. And may that sustain us and strengthen us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue now with some prayers of intercession for ourselves, our church, and the wider world. Let us pray. Father, we pray for our church family at the moment. We pray for the church officers and deacons in the responsibilities that they have. We pray for each member and attender of our congregation, that you will help us to support and encourage each other. Encourage each other in worship and in discipleship during these times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, last week our outreach to the young toddlers and parents, Toddlin, started. We pray for all those involved in that ministry, with the challenges that they face and the restrictions they face. Give them strength and encouragement in their service of you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the Boys' Brigade and the Girls' Brigade as they meet this week. We thank you for the commitment of the leaders and the helpers. And we pray that you would sustain them and give them the strength that they need. And we pray for the boys and girls that you would keep them safe, that they would have fun, but they would also learn more about your love for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we name before you those we know in our hearts who are going through difficult times of grief, mourning the loss of loved ones at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in a moment's quiet, we bring our own needs and concerns to the Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for our political leaders as they try and find solutions to the social care crisis that we find ourselves in. We pray for wisdom in policies and in training and recruitment to find the staff and the care and the support for people needing care. It's a difficult one, Lord. We pray for the politicians as they make those decisions, but we pray for those who also work in social care, that they will be paid well and will be looked after in the work that they do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, in the news this past week, we've seen pictures of people coming in across the channel on flimsy dinghies. And we pray for refugees who are fleeing poverty and war. And we pray for our government as they respond to that difficult situation, help them to have a just and fair immigration policy and to know how to respond to each of these people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we continue to pray for the situation in Afghanistan. We pray for the new government there, as they try to respond to the demands and the protests of their own people and try to start up a new government with all that entails. We pray for aid agencies and NGOs who are working in Afghanistan, that you would help them and that they would meet the needs of the people there who have needs for basic food and health and shelter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We think of some of the countries that don't always make the news headlines. We pray for the people of Lebanon who are suffering an energy crisis with no electricity and lights in the evenings there. We pray that that would be able to find a resolution. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Yesterday was September the 11th, the 20th anniversary of that tragedy. We pray for the people of the USA and those still traumatized who have lost family and friends or suffered consequences from those attacks. But we also remember those who have been victims of the wars which followed in Afghanistan and Iraq, and those who have lost their lives and homes through those conflicts too. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Father, we pray for the COVID situation, both in the UK and the United States and globally. Help us to find ways to fully vaccinate as many as people possible globally, and help our government respond to the needs of responding here in our own situation, but also to have an eye on the wider global perspective too. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we offer you all these prayers and we join them together with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for joining with us online. I'll close with a blessing. May God, who is the ground of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you lead the life of faith, until by the power of the Holy Spirit, you overflow with hope. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.